This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
We are in the midst of a series of sermons on fulfilling God's purpose in the church. And the thing that we've been focusing on is the fact that the church has been instituted by Jesus himself. And the church of Jesus Christ is his body on earth today. It is the instrument through which he purposes to do everything that he is doing in the world today. The church is the most important institution on the face of the earth, because it is the body of Christ. When I become a member of the church, I step into God's plan to work out his purposes for my life in cooperation with other imperfect people through whom he has chosen to do his work in the world. Don't expect the church to be perfect. It's not going to be, because the church is made up of imperfect people. But guess what? The bottom line is, Jesus said, imperfect as it is, I will build the church and I will use it to accomplish my work and my will upon the earth. Now, because the church is not perfect, people criticize the church a lot. Amen? Oh, people talk about it. When we go out door to door and we talk to people, one of the things that we try to get a line on is, you know, why do some people not go to church? And you know what one of the complaints that you get a lot of times is? In fact, probably most of the time, one of the reasons that people criticize the church is they say the church is always asking for money. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever heard that? Amen. You don't have to raise your hand on this, but anybody ever said that? Amen. Amen. I knew if you didn't raise your hand or not. I knew. Praise God. The church is always asking for money, and we get so upset about that. Let me tell you something. Many times that is an accurate criticism. If you grew up in churches like I did, man, you would have the offering. And then, if it didn't look like it was enough, you'd have another offering. And then you would have men's day, and you would have women's day. And what was the purpose of men and women's day? Was it to minister to men and women? No, no, you had an assessment. $500 from the men's organization for men's day. And then when they brought in their $500, the pastor would say, "Now, women, I know you can beat that." Don't you remember that stuff? Amen. The church always seems to be trying to raise money. And let me tell you something. When the church is always begging people for money, it is wrong. Churches and pastors should never be out begging the people for money. It is not God's order for pastors to be begging the people for money. Let me tell you what God's order is. God's order is for pastors to teach the people how to tithe, because that's God's plan for the church. Here at Covenant Community Church, we will not beg for money. Here at Covenant Community Church, we will not have Men's Day and Women's Day just to raise money. Here at Covenant Community Church, there will no chicken give up its life to raise money for Covenant Community Church. So the next chicken you meet, tell him he's safe. Why? Because our purpose is to understand and follow God's plan for the church. And if the pastor teaches what God told him to teach, and the people obey what God told them to obey, and tithe as he commanded them to tithe, then guess what? The church does not have to beg. God has instituted tithing to open the doors of ministry for his body on earth. And today what we want to talk about are three ways that tithing opens the doors of ministry. Number one, tithing opens the doors of our church. Go over to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. The first part of that verse says this: bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. God says, bring the tithes into the storehouse, that is his house, that there may be food there. What does food refer to in this verse? It's talking about the provision, first of all, for the priests. The priest lived off of what was brought in to the storehouse, into God's house. And then it talks about what was available to provide for people who were in need. That's what it means when it talks about food in my house. In other words, what God is saying is, bring the tithe into my house to support the ministry that I have committed to you. God has ordained, God's order is that the ministry program of the church be funded by the tithes of the people. Now, this is a teaching session today, so let me make sure everybody understands. What is a tithe? 10% of your income. And it is, what does God say? Honor me with the first fruits. Which means, where do you take it? From down out of the bottom after you pay everything else? Where? Off the top. Amen. When the Bible talks about a tithe, it is talking about 10% of income. Catch this. God says that tithe is to fund the ministry program of the church. Not chicken dinners, not anything else. The tithe is what God has ordained to fund the ministry program. Look at verse 10 again of Malachi 3. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, that the ministry of the house of God might go forward. Look around one more time today. Now, you notice something. When you look around, you're able to see in here. Isn't that right? Why? Because the lights are on. Amen? How many of you know that PPL does not love us? Amen? Amen? Do you know PPL doesn't love us? Do you know? Let me just break it down for you. PPL does not give us a break because we're a church. Do you know that? So when we talk about God has ordained the tithe to open the doors of the church, quite literally, keeping the doors of the church open is a function of the faithfulness of the people in tithing. Everybody is seated today. How many of you know those chairs didn't grow up through the floor? Amen. In other words, all of this is supported by the tithes of the people, keeping the doors open, the lights, the air conditioning, the heat. Let me tell you something. You may not realize this. We are projecting the words of the songs that we sing up here. Do you know that due to the copyright laws of the United States, we pay a yearly fee for the privilege of projecting those words? Amen? The bottom line is, it takes money to do ministry. It doesn't come free. Let me just ask a question, and I better get some amens on this. Is anybody blessed by the ministry of this church? Amen. 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 Praise God. Go over to Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. What does that mean? If you are being blessed by the ministry, guess what? You need to support the ministry that's blessing you. Amen? Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Paul said this to the Corinthian church: if we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things in return? God has ordained that the way the ministry of the church is to be supported is through the material things of the people. Let me just ask a question here. How many of you ever go out to a restaurant to eat? Amen? As Christians, and tell me I'm right about this, as Christians, it never crosses our mind to walk out of a restaurant without paying for our meal. Amen? Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. When you walk away from a restaurant without paying for your food, they say that you've stolen from them. They'll call the cops on you. Look at what God says. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. God's plan is to supply the financial needs of the church through the financial faithfulness of the body of Christ. People sometimes ask, well, you know, I work in the church. Can I give my time instead of my money? Go over to Nehemiah chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 35 through 37. You remember in the book of Nehemiah that Nehemiah had called the people out to the labor of building the wall, rebuilding the wall around the city of Jerusalem. And this was a hard, tough task. Whole families were out there building the wall from sunup to sundown. But look at what Nehemiah said. Verse 35 of Nehemiah 10. And we made ordinances to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of the trees, or the fruit of all trees, year by year to the house of the Lord. To bring the firstborn of our sons and our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstborn of our herds and our flocks, to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God. To bring the first fruits of our dough, our offerings, the fruit from all kinds of trees, the new wine and oil to the priests, to the storerooms of the house of our God, and to bring the tithe of our land to the Levites, for the Levites should receive the tithes in all our farming communities. Do you see what happened? They worked hard building that wall. It was hard physical labor building the wall around Jerusalem, but that did not substitute for the tithe. How many of you know that when we get the PPL bill, if we send in a note from you saying, I worked hard in the church, they will not take anything off the bill for that? Amen? And so, no, God doesn't say substitute. He says, this you ought to do, and that as well. Remember when Jesus was wanting to feed the 5,000 and there was only a little lad that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes there? Remember that story? Remember what happened when Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and he began to break it? What happened? It multiplied. Amen? It multiplied in the hand of God. What if that young man had said, look, I ain't got but 5 loaves and 2 pieces of fish here. And you know, I'm a pretty big growing boy. That's just enough for me. What if he'd held on instead of yielding up what he had to God? God was able to multiply back what he had given. Here's an important principle of the kingdom of God that we need to have in mind. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The statement I want you to see in that is by which every part does its share. That's how the church is supposed to function. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll look at verses 13 and 14. God says his plan for the support of the ministry of the church is the tithes of the people of God. But he does not intend that one set of the people be burdened because another part of the people is not carrying their load. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. Look at this. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and that their abundance may also supply your lack, that there may be equality. What's he saying? Every part is supposed to do its share. Now, I really prayed about this in putting this sermon together, because I don't want it to be a guilt-inducing sermon. That's not my purpose. My goal is, my desire is, that you'll get excited about ministry. That's really what the whole purpose of this series of sermons has been about. Let's get excited about what God wants to do through this church. But there's one thing that I really need for you to think about. We got some great tithers here at Covenant Community Church. Praise God. That's the only thing outside of God himself that's allowed us to get to the point where we are. Amen? Amen. But let me ask you a question. If you're not a tither, who's been carrying your part of the load? Who's been carrying your part of the load? Somebody has to. Amen? The Word of God says there should not be a burden that's being borne by one part and not borne by the other part. It should be any equality. And so you have to ask yourself the question, who's carrying my part of the load? Understand this. Your financial faithfulness is just as much a part of the ministry of this church as my preaching. You catch that? Your financial faithfulness is just as much a part of the ministry of this church as my preaching. We open the doors of this church so that people can come and hear the word of God. If there were no building here, it would be harder for people to hear the word. Amen? If there were no air conditioning, I see some of us fanning today. Amen. Praise God, it's hot. But guess what? If there were no air conditioning, it would be harder for people to hear the word. We're getting ready to do vacation Bible school, getting ready for all the kids that we're praying for the Lord to send us. Well, guess what? That costs. It costs to get the materials and the snacks and the crafts and all of those things for the kids that are going to be coming for vacation Bible school. Your contribution to this ministry makes the outreach to those kids possible. You see, your financial faithfulness is a part of the ministry of this church. This church, we're not quite 3 years old yet. We have already given out thousands of dollars in benevolence to members who were in need. Amen. That's part of the function of the church. Amen. That's part of what we're here for. That's part of what that storehouse function is. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Food for whoever is in need. That's part of what we're here to do. Well, guess what? That comes because of your faithfulness to what God has called you to do. You see, so your faithfulness is an important part of the ministry of this church. Never feel like that you are not part of the ministry. When you're faithful to what God called you to do, you are a vital, important part of the ministry of this church. So the first door that's open, tithing opens the door of the church. Here's the second thing it does. Tithing opens the doors of our hearts. Look at Malachi 3:10 again. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, why do we have trouble giving to God what he asks of us? You know why? Let me just tell you. Many times we are more concerned about getting stuff in our house than in God's house. Isn't that right? Go over to the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. Go ahead, open the table of contents. Amen. Haggai chapter 1. Look at how God dealt with his people when they had that kind of mindset. I'll take care of my own stuff before I take care of God's stuff. Haggai chapter 1. I'll start reading with verse 2. Verses 2 through 7. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Do you see what was happening? They were building their own houses, making them nice. It says your paneled houses. Some nice paneling, amen? And they were saying, well, look, it's time to build our house. The house of God can wait. And God said to them, consider your ways. Because God says, I can't bless that kind of a heart. Says you'd be like a person that works hard to earn wages and then puts it into a pocketbook with holes in it. Any of you ever feel that way? You work hard and everything you earn, it seems like you put it into a pocket and there's a hole in the bottom of your pocket. Amen? Yeah. God says that's the way it'll be. You think you're doing the best that you can for yourself, but because you're not willing to follow God's plan, God can't bless it. Go over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Look at what God is really concerned about. Understand this. God is not short of money. The word says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God can supply for his church any way he wants. So money is not the issue with God. You want to know what God is concerned about? Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Understand, what you do with your money is an indicator of where your heart is toward God. Not what you say about it, not how you testify, but the word says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Go over to Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Look at what God is trying to do with us. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know what God is trying to do in our lives? You know why he puts so much emphasis on this thing of giving and tithing? It's not because he needs the money. It's because he's trying to do a work in our hearts. He is trying to give us the heart of a giver. We grow up taking. That is standard operating procedure. Give me. I mean, from the time we're born, isn't that where we are? Give me. But do you understand that life works right for us when we begin to be a giver instead of a taker? When you have the heart of a giver, God is able to use that to bring blessings into your life that you cannot receive as long as you're trying to grab for yourself. And so when God deals with our finances, he's not dealing with the money. What he's dealing with is our heart. What kind of heart do you have? Do you have a heart toward God that says, God, you really do have my heart. I really do love you with everything that's in me. And I demonstrate it by where I put my money. Or are you really showing God, bottom line, God, you got your place, but don't touch my money. Because when that's where we are, what we're really saying to him is, God, what comes first in my life? Me and what I got. And I don't think that's a place that any one of us wants to be. Amen? Amen. And so the key issue that God is dealing with, the key thing that happens when we tithe the way God called us to tithe, he opens the door of our hearts. Here's the third thing. Not only does he open the doors of the church and open the doors of our heart, but praise God, look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. verses 10 through 12. Tithing opens the doors of heaven. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Understand it. Tithing is not only God's plan for the provision of the church, it is God's plan for your provision. Anybody want more money coming in than you got? I should see unanimity here. Amen. What does God say? Look, follow my plan. Do what I have commanded you to do. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. God has made us a flat out, bottom line promise that when we follow his plan, he will honor our faithfulness. He will give back to us more than we could ever get for ourselves. In fact, he says what? I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't even have room to receive. Amen? Amen. And that blessing will come. Why? Because God is faithful. The word says that even when we are faithless, he cannot help but be faithful because that's his nature. Amen? And so he says, try me, test me in this. This is my plan for prospering you in life. Tithing opens the doors of heaven. God doesn't need your money today, but he wants your heart. And if you're going to know God, you need to give him your whole heart. If you're going to become the person that he created you to be and receive all of the blessings that he purposed for us to have, he needs to have your whole heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, so let each one give as he purposes, where? In his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Because where my treasure is, there my heart will be also.